committed whoredom or gone out against God. But I see in chapter 1 in this picture of the undeserving bride, I see Christ and the church. See, Gomer was not looking for Hosea, but Hosea went out looking for her. Gomer was not worthy of Hosea's love, but he gave her his love. Gomer was not worthy of Hosea's hand in marriage, but he gave her his hand. Why, preacher? Because it was the will of God. Can I say this? The church, us in here, the little C church, we were not worthy of Christ's love, but he loved us. Somebody say amen right there. We were not worthy of him coming for us, but he came for us. We were not worthy of him dying for us, but he died for us. What I'm trying to say is we are an undeserving bride in that we are the bride of Christ. And then in chapter number 2, we see the undeniable breaking. Here's what happened. Hosea meets Gomer. He marries her. They begin to have children. All their children have unique names. That they were named for certain points that God wanted to make to the nation of Israel. I don't have time to go through all of them, but the most important one was the first one, Jezreel. He was the one who God said, this is where everything's going to end back up at. We're going to go back to the beginning when things were like they were supposed to be. And so in chapter number 2, the inevitable happens. And Gomer finds her way out of the house that she was supposed to be in into somebody else's house. She went back to doing what she knew how to do. Can I tell you something, Christian? It's a dangerous thing when our fallback standard, our knee-jerk response to trouble is to go back to what we used to do. The reality is, we all have had times in our life where we have wandered away. We didn't start out going the wrong way. You understand, Paul said, I was alive without the law once. There was a time when we were truly innocent. But there came a point where we had to make a choice. And every person in this room and every person that's ever lived on this earth aside from Jesus Christ has made that fatal choice. As Gomer did, there came pressure and temptation and we went away. Can I tell you this? Even though our generations were wicked, we still had to make that choice for ourselves. We cannot blame our sin on Adam because Adam sinned. Listen, the only person that you can blame on your sin is you because you're the one that done it. God got a hold of Gomer here in that she brought Hosea into her life and Gomer was good for a spell, but she turned back. Can I say this morning there's some saved people that's turned back. They some people that God has redeemed them from a life of sin. And for whatever reason, whatever they've encountered has brought them to a place where they have found themselves right back in the same, as Proverbs says, as a hog returns to his own mire, as a dog turns back to his own vomit. There are some Christians who have turned back to what they used to be instead of what they are currently. And then we approach chapter 3. And we see the unfinished business. Chapter number 3, verse number 1. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. God said to Hosea, you can't just leave her like this. I know that she's turned back. I know that this is her fault, but you can't just let her stay like she is. You've given her options, but she chose wrong. Man, does that remind you of anybody? I mean, God's given us so many second chances and third chances and 200 chances and given us all the right tools and the right circumstances to do right, but yet somehow we still find a way to mess it up. And verse number 2, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide from me many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot. And thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Let's back up to verse number 2 and then we'll get to the message. So I bought her to me. I want to preach on this thought for just a little while this morning. If you'll go with me. Bought with a price. Bought with a price. Father, help us this morning, God, as we venture to preach your word. Lord, it is my desire, God, that this would not be a showing of my ability, Lord, but rather, God, an exhibit of your power in this place this morning. It is my heart's desire today that you would manifest yourself in a tangible way amongst your people. God, speak to our hearts and change us by your power, and we'll thank you for that which you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, we see the situation that we're in here. Hosea has been commanded by God to go and find the wife of whoredoms, a wife that had many husbands, if you will, in a theoretical sense. And he went and found her. Her name was Gomer. Hey, girls, ain't you glad your mama didn't name you Gomer? Somebody ought to say amen right there. Her name was Gomer. And so Hosea and Gomer get married and begin to have children. And God begins to bless their family. And he uses their children as examples and illustrations of the future and prophecy that would be fulfilled in the nation of Israel. And he's working in their lives. And then Gomer gets out of the will of God. She gets out of the will of her husband. She gets out of her home and she finds herself out in the world. The Bible says, playing the adulteress. She is playing the harlot. She is out here doing the things that she is not supposed to do. Is everybody with me? Say amen. And then as a result of that situation, she finds herself in a bit of a bind. Can I tell you something, church? If you will allow yourself to get out in this world and get out in sin and live your life in such a way that is contrary to God, that listen to me, if you do that long enough, there's going to come a time when you find yourself in a situation where you can no longer get out of the mess that you've got yourself in. Gomer was taken captive. She was made to be a slave. She was a prisoner, if you will. It's kind of like this. She was doing what she wanted to do, and it got her to a point where what she wanted to do became what she had to do, whether she wanted to or not. Listen to me. One of the greatest things that come against Christianity in our day, right now, right here and right now, is addiction. What the doctors call chemical dependency. Hey, listen, I know something about it. Here's what I'll tell you. Every addict could tell the same story if they were being honest. What I'm doing, I started out doing because I wanted to do it. And it got to a point where I was no longer doing what I wanted to do because I wanted to do it. I was doing what I was doing because I didn't have no other choice. That's where Gomer was. And listen to me, sin will take you that way. It will put you in a position where you are no longer able to make a choice to do right or to do wrong, but the only thing that you can do is survive in the situation that you are in. And so, the only thing that was left to do, the only way that that God through Hosea could redeem Gomer was for a price to be paid. Hosea could no longer go to Gomer and say, hey baby, it's time to come home. I'm welcoming you home. You just come on. It didn't work like that no more. Hosea had to pay to get the job. He had to pay a price to purchase her, to redeem her back from her captors. And can I say this about the price that was paid, the debt that was paid? Number one, is Gomer found herself in a bind and the debt was extremely high. Here's how I know that the debt was extremely high. Is because Hosea didn't have enough money to pay for it. Look at what your Bible says in verse number 2. It says he bought her back. Listen to this, verse number 2. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. Hold on a minute. First of all, I could say that 15 pieces of silver is a lot, and I could try to explain to you how much money that is, but I don't think I need to do that. What I can show you in the text here is that that was all that Hosea had to pay. You say, how do you know that? Because after that, he quit paying in money and started paying in substance. Look what your Bible says. He said, I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. You say, what was that barley? That was what he was going to eat, friend. That was his sustenance. That was what he had to get by. What I'm trying to show you is, what's being illustrated here is that Hosea gave everything that he had. Not just the money in his pocket. Not just what he had to offer out of his wallet. He gave up everything to get back a hold of Gomer. He gave up his substance. He gave up the very food that was to go in his belly. He gave up being able to eat the next meal to get his wife back. It reminds me of when the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary. He had it all. He was 100% God and 100% man. If he had desired to, he could have had all the riches of this earth. If he had desired to, listen, when Satan tempted him for 40 days in the wilderness, the Bible says he took him up on top of the highest spot in the temple and said, if you'll follow me, I'll give you all of this. And hear me and hear me well. He could have had it if he wanted to in his flesh. Are y'all listening to me? I'm about to buzz. Hey, listen to me, but here's the deal. He didn't just pay for the price for us with the money in his pocket. He paid the price for us with the very lifeblood of his veins. He paid the price for us with the very essence of his being. He did what God cannot do, and he died for us. Amen. To redeem us from our whoredoms. See, he didn't die for us because we were so good. The Bible says that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, Hosea didn't go get Gomer after she figured everything out and got it right. No, he went and found her where she was at. Boy, I could preach on that all day. November 10th, 2013, God saved this old sinner. And I'm telling you right now, he didn't wait for me to get it all figured out. He come and got me where I was at. Are you hearing me? He didn't wait for me to get better. Hey, listen to me. I didn't get better to get saved. I got saved so I could get better. Amen. Hey, listen to me. I didn't go home to get born again. I got born again so I could come home. Hallelujah. Hey, listen to me. Gomer, I didn't have to. It wasn't when she got better that Hosea come and got her. It was when God said, go get her. It's when he come and got her. And listen to me. He bought her with everything that he had. He paid the price. Here's what he was saying. I'll miss a meal if I can just get her home. I'm glad that God, in the form of Jesus Christ the Son, left the comforts of glory. The Bible says in Isaiah that he was a man acquainted with grief. I'm glad that he was willing to put himself in an uncomfortable situation, because that's what it was going to take to redeem me out of the situation that I had put myself in. So here's what you need to know about Jesus. He went out of his way and gave up his own comfort because you wouldn't. The debt was paid. So what did Hosea do? He got her back. He did whatever it took to pay the price. Then I want you to see this. Not only the debt was paid, but the law was laid. This is interesting. Notice he did not just redeem her and then send her on her merry way back to doing what she was doing before. He didn't go pay the price for her and then just let it go to the wind. He set her down and he had a conversation. Look at verse number 3. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. I want you to notice something. When Hosea married Gomer in chapter 1, they did not have this conversation. When Hosea married Gomer in the first place, there is no record of Gomer, of Hosea ever telling her, you can't do this no more, what you've been doing. Now, we understand that was certainly the desire of Hosea's heart. And nobody would ever marry somebody knowing that they were going to go run around on them and then just be okay with that. That's not it. Mm-hmm. But he gave her in essence an opportunity to have room to make her own choices. And then when she made the wrong choice in grace is an illustration of the grace and mercy of God. He went and once again redeemed her by paying the price that was necessary and got her back. This time, post-redemption, he said, okay, we need to have a conversation. Here's what he said, Gomer, you can't do this no more. Mm-hmm. You can't do what you've been doing no more. Now, I want you to notice some things here. When he laid down this new law, I mean, it would have been pretty foolish to redeem her out of the consequences of her wickedness just to send her right back to it. Yeah. Notice some things with me now. He didn't bind her. He didn't put handcuffs on her. He didn't put a tracking collar on her. If she really wanted to go back and do it again, she had the freedom to. But this time, to do that would have been to go against the new law that Hosea had brought into her life. Here's what he said. He said, I love you, Gomer, and I'm going to keep loving you. You can see that. Please don't do this again. Makes me think about John chapter number 8. Jesus is in the temple when a bunch of the religious crowd brings in this woman who the Bible says they caught in the very act of adultery. Now, that's a crazy thing to even think about, but they brought her into the temple and they threw her down at Jesus' feet. And they were essentially trying to get Jesus to allow them to stone this woman. And in doing so, I can't get off track here. They recognized Jesus' authority. They just didn't have sense enough to realize that's what they were doing. And Jesus gave her grace. He allowed her to not be stoned to death. And he said one thing to this woman at the end of all of this. He looked at her. Here's what he said. He said, go and sin no more. Mm-hmm. You say, preacher, did she go and sin more? Probably. Probably. But here's the deal. Every time after that, she knew exactly what she was doing. You see, the law of the new covenant does not exist to inflict punishment. It exists to inflict conviction so that you will live in a righteous way. See, it wouldn't make any sense for the Lord to save you just so you could go back and do what you had been doing before. It wouldn't make any sense for me. It would be like if a house was on fire and I went in and rescued somebody out of that house fire and then they turned around to run back in and I just said, well, there you go. I said, what would you do? I'd probably try to stop it, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. The Bible says, whom he loveth, he chasteneth. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That's called conviction, friend. That's why when you're sitting in here sometimes in church and the preacher's preaching, that little thing that's in the back of your mind that gets your heart to beating and you're thinking, I know I'm wrong right here and I don't know what to do. That's called conviction. And from where I'm standing, it's way more obvious than you want it to be. If you are living with the idea that you have somehow escaped the law of God by salvation, this is a misnomer of Christianity. We say, well, we're not under law, we're under grace. Well, hold on a minute now. Jesus said, I came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law.
That's right.
If you somehow got the illusion that you are living outside of the law of God in some form, listen, you better check the book again. Your New Testament says that to use your grace as an occasion for the flesh, that saying to use your the fact that you have grace as a justification for sin is to make a mockery of God. Here's the thing. Hosea did redeem Gomer, and she didn't deserve it. But he did it anyway. He gave up everything to get her back. But when he did, he laid down a new law. And he said, listen, Gomer, you just can't keep doing this. Mm-hmm. Hey, Christian, listen to me. Listen to me. That thing that you were doing before you got saved that kept you away from God, and now God saved you. Listen closely to what I'm saying now. You just can't keep doing that. You can't keep living like that. That's not your purpose. That's not what you're there for. That's not why God saved you, so that you could keep continuing sin and find your way out of hell. That's not why. God saved you for the same reason that Hosea married Gomer, to give you something that you could never get any other way. Hosea, when he married Gomer, he brought her in to the fold of the family of God in a way that she could have never done on her own. But God, listen to me. Gomer had a responsibility to her husband, and you've got a responsibility to your God.
Amen.
Then I want you to see this, and I'll be done. The debt was paid, the law was laid, and then the covenant was made. Look what your Bible says. And I said unto her, verse 3, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. Notice there, right there in your Bible, there's a colon. Y'all know I like that stuff. Colon means I'm fixing to give you a little something else to go with this here. A little explanation. Look what he says now. So was the word so mean. That means just like that. Mm-hmm. So, I will also be with thee. He said, just like you ain't going to run around on me, I ain't going to run around on you. Just like you're not going to play the harlot on me, I'm not going to do it on you. Right. Just like you're not going to be an adulteress on me, I'm not going to commit adultery on you. Hey, listen to me. Here's what he said. He said, just as good as you are, as I want you to be with me, that's how good I'm going to be to you. Just as much as I want you to be with me, that's how much I'm going to be with you. It reminds me of another promise that was made in Matthew chapter number 28, what we call the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. He said, hey, if you'll just stay with me, I'll stay with you. Hallelujah. He said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. Hey, listen, if you'll just stay where you're supposed to be, I'll be right where I'm supposed to be no matter what. I'm glad I serve a God this morning that His approval is not unconditional, but it is attainable. It is not, listen to me, what I'm saying is, it's not as if you can't do nothing to get you sideways with Him. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm glad to say that you can be right with God. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, you can wake up in the morning and talk to Him as a man talks to his friend. You can wake up in the morning and serve Him and know that He's with you. How far, preacher? Always, even to the end of the world.
Amen.
Here's what Hosea said. He said, hey, I tell you what. If you need a reason to do right by me, just know I'm going to do right by you. If you need a reason to do right by God, understand, He'll do right by you. And hear me right here. I love that verse, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. I heard an old preacher one time say it like this.
He said, if you'll come toward Him, He'll come toward you. And His steps are a whole lot bigger than your steps, praise God. He can get there a lot quicker than you can. It's not as if you're going to spend your life pursuing after God as if He's some far away being. The reality is, He wants to be close to you more than you want to be close to Him. When you turn to Him, He'll turn to you. And listen to me, the Bible says the Lord is at hand. And if you'll reach out your hand, He'll reach out His hand. And His hand is more powerful than your hand will ever be.
Amen.
I'm glad we have a Savior that is for us. Amen. You know, there are many people today on earth, I'm fixing to be done. But there are many people today on earth that are serving a little g God, a false God. And even if He was real, the God that they are serving doesn't love them. He dictates to them. He exists mostly for the purpose of catching them slipping so He can punish them. Most people's understanding of God is that God exists to catch me when I mess up. But I'm here to tell you, my God exists to catch you when you fall and to pick you back up. David said, He hath brought me up also out of a miry pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I'm here to tell you, I don't serve a God that is waiting to strike you down. I serve a God that is ready to dust you off and stand you back up so you can go again. Hallelujah. If you're lost in here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm here to tell you that the Savior that I'm preaching about this morning is not in existence so that you can be punished. He's in existence so that you can experience life and you can have it more abundantly.
Amen.
I say it all the time, but the cross is not a minus sign, it's a plus sign.
Amen.
Jesus is not here to take away from your life, He's here to add to your life. Those things that are holding you back, that you're afraid are going to get taken away, are the same things that will drag you into hell. The same things that will ruin you and the same things that will take you to a place where you don't even know where to look for redemption. Hey, maybe somebody in here that's like Gomer was and your sin has taken you captive and you don't know how you're ever going to get out. You don't have no way to pay the price. Can I tell you this morning that there was a man named Jesus that lived on this earth for 33 and a half years, and they took him to a place called Calvary and they stood him up on a cross and they nailed his hands and feet and they put a crown of thorns on his brow and He gave the blood of His body and His very life to redeem you out of that situation. He's paid the price and you have been purchased. Whether or not you... Listen to me, the only thing waiting is to see if you will accept His redemption.
Amen.
I didn't come in here to give you nothing complicated this morning. I come in here to say this. Our heavenly Hosea has saddled up and ponied up the price. He's paid everything that needs to be paid. Somebody needs to just go home with Him this morning. I want you to stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.